जय राधव कुंज बिहारे
The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, 4th Chapter, text number 20, given by His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami, recorded on 24th October of 1982 in Bombay, India.
Gopi jana bala bhala dhari ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
माय डियर श्री कृष्णा हु इज द वर्शिपफुल लॉर्ड ऑफ ऑल डिवोटीज The protector and glory of all the kings like Andhaka and Vrishni of the Yadu dynasty, the husband of all goddesses of fortune, the director of all sacrifices and therefore the leader of all living entities, the controller of all intelligence, the proprietor of all planets, spiritual and material, and the supreme incarnation on the earth, the supreme all in all, be merciful upon me. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. It's a three-page purport, so everyone please hear it attentively. The purport is non-different from Prabhupada speaking. So Prabhupada is present in his purport. So please hear it very attentively. It's a three-page purport.
Since Shukadeva Goswami is one of the prominent Gatavyalikas who are freed from all misconceptions, he therefore expresses his own realized perception of Lord Sri Krishna as being the sum total of all perfection, the personality of Godhead. Everyone is seeking the favor of the goddess of fortune, but people do not know that Lord Sri Krishna is the beloved husband of all goddesses of fortune. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said that the Lord, in his transcendental abode, Goloka Vrindavan, is accustomed to herding the Sarabi cows and is served there by hundreds of thousands of goddesses of fortune. All these goddesses of fortune are manifestations of his transcendental pleasure potency, Ladini Shakti, in his internal energy. And when the Lord manifested himself on this earth, he partially displayed the activities of his pleasure potency in his Rasa Lila, just to attract the conditioned souls, who are all after the phantasmagoria pleasure potency in degraded sex enjoyment. The pure devotees of the Lord, like Shukadeva Goswami, who are completely detached from the abominable sex life of the material world, discuss this act of the Lord's pleasure potency certainly not in relation to sex, but to relish a transcendental taste inconceivable to the mundaners who are after sex life. Sex life in the mundane world is the root cause of being conditioned by the shackles of illusion, and certainly Shukadeva Goswami was never interested in the sex life of the mundane world. Nor does the manifestation of the Lord's pleasure potency have any connection with such degraded things. Lord Chaitanya was a strict sannyasi, so much so that he did not allow any woman to come near him, not even to bow down and offer respects. He never even heard the prayers of the Devadasis offered in the temple of Jagannath, because a sannyasi is forbidden to hear songs sung by the fair sex. Yet even in the rigid position of a sannyasi, he recommends the mode of worship preferred by the gopis of Vrindavan as the topmost loving service possible to be rendered to the Lord. And Srimati Radharani is the principal head of all such goddesses of fortune, and therefore she is the pleasure counterpart of the Lord and is non-different from Krishna. In the Vedic rituals, there are recommendations for performing different types of sacrifice in order to achieve the greatest benefit in life. Such benedictions as the results of performing great sacrifices are, after all, favors given by the goddesses of fortune and the Lord, being the husband or lover of the goddess of fortune, is factually the Lord of all sacrifices also. He is the final enjoyer of all kinds of yajna. Therefore, Yajnapati is another name of Lord Krishna. It is recommended in the Bhagavad Gita that everything be done for the Yajnapati, Yajnartat Karmana. For otherwise, one's acts will be the cause of conditioning by the law of material nature. Those who are not freed from all misconceptions, Jalikam, perform sacrifices to please the minor demigods. But the devotees of the Lord know very well that Lord Sri Krishna is the supreme enjoyer of all performances of sacrifice, and therefore they perform the Sankirtan Yajna, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, which is especially recommended in this age of Kali. In Kali Yuga, performance of other types of sacrifice is not feasible due to insufficient arrangements and inexpert priesthood. We have information from the Bhagavad Gita that Lord Brahma, after giving rebirth to the conditioned souls within the universe, instructed them to perform sacrifices and to lead a prosperous life. With such sacrificial performances, the conditioned souls will never be in difficulty in keeping body and soul together. Ultimately, they can purify their existence. They will find natural promotion into spiritual existence, the real identity of the living being. A conditioned soul should never give up the practice of sacrifice, charity, and austerity in any circumstances. The aim of such sacrifices is to please the Yajnapati, the personality of Godhead, and therefore the Lord is also Prajapati. According to the Katha Upanishad, the one Lord is the leader of the innumerable living entities. The living entities are maintained by the Lord. Eko Bahunam Yo Vididati Kaman. The Lord is therefore called the Supreme Bhutabrit, or maintainer of all living beings. Living beings are proportionately endowed with intelligence in terms of their previous activities. All living beings are not equally endowed with the same quality of intelligence, because behind such development of intelligence is the control of the Lord, as declared in the Bhagavad Gita. As Paramatma, Supersoul, the Lord is living in everyone's heart, and from him only does one's power of remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness follow. One person cannot sharply remember past activities by the grace of the Lord, while others cannot. One is highly intelligent by the grace of the Lord, and one is a fool by the same control. Therefore the Lord is Dhyampati, or the Lord of Intelligence. The conditioned souls strive to become lords of the material world. Everyone is trying to lord it over the material nature by applying his highest degree of intelligence. This misuse of intelligence by the conditioned soul is called madness. One's full intelligence should be applied to get freed from the material clutches. But the conditioned soul, due to madness only, engages his full energy and intelligence in sense gratification. And to achieve this end of life, he willfully commits all sorts of misdeeds. The result is that instead of attaining an unconditional life of full freedom, the mad conditioned soul is entangled again and again in different types of bondage in material bodies. Therefore, we see in the material manifestation is but the creation of the Lord. Everything we see in the material manifestation is but the creation of the Lord. Therefore, he is the real proprietor of everything in the universes. The conditioned soul can enjoy a fragment of this material creation under the control of the Lord, but not self-sufficiently. That is the instruction in the Isha Upanishad. One should be satisfied with things awarded by the Lord of the universe. It is out of madness only that one tries to encroach upon others' share of material possessions. The Lord of the universe, out of his causeless mercy upon the conditioned souls, descends by his own energy to re-establish the eternal relation of the conditioned souls with him. He instructs all to surrender unto him instead of falsely claiming to be enjoyers for a certain limit under his control. When he so descends, he proves how much greater he is. When he so descends, he proves how much greater is his ability to enjoy, and he exhibits his power of enjoyment by marrying 16,000 wives at once. The conditioned soul is very proud of becoming the husband of even one wife, but the Lord laughs at this. The intelligent man can know who is the real husband. Factually, the Lord is the husband of all the women in His creation, but a conditioned soul under the control of the Lord feels proud to be the husband of one or two wives. All these qualifications as the different types of pati mentioned in this verse are meant for Lord Sri Krishna, and Shukadeva Goswami has therefore especially mentioned the pati and gati of the Yadu dynasty. The members of the Yadu dynasty knew that Lord Sri Krishna is everything, and all of them intended to return to Lord Krishna after he had finished his transcendental pastimes on the earth. The Yadu dynasty was annihilated by the will of the Lord because its members had to return home with the Lord. The annihilation of the Yadu dynasty was a material show created by the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, the Lord and the members of the Yadu dynasty are all eternal associates. The Lord is therefore the guide of all devotees, and as such, Shukadeva Goswami offered him due respects with love-laden feelings.
So the difference between the approach of a materialist and a devotee is indicated in this verse. Shukadeva Goswami is speaking this verse. So Shukadeva Goswami is saying, "O my Lord Sri Krishna, please be merciful upon me." The devotee, he is completely dependent upon Krishna. Whereas the non-devotee, he is always attempting to find a solution by his own endeavors. Prahlad Maharaj has stated, "Yadyata iva karmani vidvanmani asaka nara karoti yato aparyasam amogam vindanti phalam." That the tragedy of the materialist is that he's always thinking that he has a solution to his problems, but in reality, if the result is, there's nothing but frustration and frustration. So Lord Krishna is Akila. Akila means complete, and Kila means inferior. So Krishna is Akila, complete, and the living entities are Kila, or inferior. Just like the two types of Prakriti, Apara Prakriti and Para Prakriti. Apara Prakriti refers to the material nature, and the Para Prakriti refers to the transcendental abode of the Lord or the divine energy of the Lord. So, the Supreme Lord, as Shukadeva Goswami has very beautifully described in this verse, is the worshipful Lord of all devotees. The devotees are those who take shelter of the Supreme Lord. There are different types of transcendentalists. But those who are intelligent, they only take shelter of the Supreme Lord. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj has analyzed different types of transcendentalists. He says, Bhakti Mukti Siddhi Kami. Bhakti Mukti Siddhi Kami. Bhakti refers to those who take to religion by following the Karma Kanda portion. And the goal is to realize some type of economic gain or sense gratification. Mukti refers to those who are taking to a process of self-realization for the purpose of becoming one with the Lord or becoming free from the cycle of birth and death. Siddhi refers to those who are trying to perfect one of the eight different types of mystic yogas. So, Krishnadas Kaviraj says, Bhakti Mukti Siddhi Kami. Kami means lusty. So whether one is a bhakti or on the part of mukti or trying to realize the eight mystic perfections which are known as siddhi, he is to be considered to be lusty, kami. And because he is lusty, shakali ashanta. Because they are lusty, they, all of them grouped together, are ashanta. Ashanta means not peaceful. And on the other hand, Krishna Bhakta Niskama Ata Eva Shanta. In comparison, the devotees of Krishna, because they are Niskama. Niskama means because they are without material desires, they are to be considered to be Shanta. Shanta means they are to be considered to be peaceful. So, the devotees of the Lord, they have no material desire,
And they are peaceful because they are worshipping Lord Sri Krishna, who is the Lord of all devotees. In the purport, Prabhupada makes reference to the worship of the demigods. So those who are real devotees, they are Niskama. And those who approach the demigods generally are those who have some type of material benefit. Those who want some type of material benefit. And these devotees are called Sakama. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that those who desire material facilities or those who have material desires, they go to the demigods. They do not come to me. So Shukadev Goswami is saying, my dear Lord Shri Krishna, who is the worshipable Lord of all devotees. So Krishna is the worshipable Lord of all who are Niskama, of those devotees who have no material desires. Then Shukadev Goswami says, the protector and the glory of all kings. So Krishna is the protector of everyone. It is not that the living entity can be saved by a bank balance or some different relatives. Just like when somebody wants to join the Krishna conscious movement, let's say, especially with a young man, the parents, especially in India, are very resentful to it. They say, oh, this son of mine is supposed to take care of me in my old age, isn't it? But they don't realize that the ultimate protection is provided by the Supreme Lord. And if the Lord is pleased, He will protect. Rakhe Krishna Mare Ke, Mare Krishna Rakhe Ke. Who Krishna wants to protect, no one can annihilate. And who Krishna wants to annihilate, nobody can protect. So Krishna is the supreme protector of every living entity. It is not that if one has a son or a daughter or a bank balance or some property, one will be able to obtain protection. This is the illusory energy. Illusory energy means it makes the false appear to be real. Just like in the night you may dream, but in the morning when you get up, you don't think that the dream is real. You know that that was just a dream. So similarly, illusory energy means it tries to make you believe in something, but in reality that thing does not exist. So, the Supreme Lord is the protector. In the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam, the so-called relatives, property, bank balance, all these are called fallible soldiers. We are thinking that we can obtain protection from those who themselves are unable to protect themselves. So if one is unable to protect himself, where is the question of one offering protection to others? It is just not conceivable. The non-devotee cannot understand this, and hence we see that in the mature world, there is such great emphasis today upon trying to build up armaments, stock up nuclear weapons. As we know, there is what you call an arms race going on, because they are thinking that the better equipped one is militarily, the more protection one will be able to offer to its citizens. But the reality is that if one obtains the protection of Krishna, if one obtains the mercy of Krishna, then that is the real security that one can obtain. The Duryodhana and his brothers did not know that Krishna is a real source of protection. So when they had a choice to choose between Krishna and the armies, they chose the armies, and the Pandavas selected Krishna to be on their side. And in the end, the Pandavas were victorious over the Kauravas, who numerically were greater than them. So the point is that the intelligent person, he takes shelter of Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj has very beautifully stated, Nanate vidum swartha gatim hi vishnu, durasya ye bahir arthamanina, andha yatham de rupaniyamanas. The meaning of this verse is that people do not know where lies their happiness and svartagati. Because they do not know where lies their happiness, they are just misled. Just like Prahlad Maharaj says, Maya Sakaya Bharam Lidvato Vimuram, that they're trying to convert a miserable position into a position of happiness and shelter. So this is the tragedy of the materialist, that he doesn't understand, even after so many experiences, that the real protection cannot be available by any material arrangement. In the English language, there's a saying, once burned, twice shy. But that unfortunately doesn't apply to one who is blind to the purpose of human life. Even though the materialist gets burnt at every stage, still some or the other he is hoping that a situation may arise in which the burning will not take place. But the burning is bound to take place because Krishna has declared the Kalayama Shashatam. That is, these two points characterize material existence. One is the principle of misery, the other is the fact that everything is very temporary. So Krishna is also described in this verse by Shukadeva Goswami to be the husband of all goddesses of fortune. Krishna is the husband of the goddesses of fortune. There is the picture of Lakshmiji, who is always massaging the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So Krishna is the husband of the goddesses of fortune. Lakshmiji is herself massaging the lotus feet of the Lord. So the devotees of Krishna, they understand that Krishna is in possession of all opulences. Prabhupada used to say that do not think that Krishna is a poor man. Krishna is not a poor man. You can estimate that Krishna is one man, one person who is maintaining everyone. Just like in a family, the husband maintains. Just like in a family, the husband maintains over all the members. The head of the family may do a job or some business to earn money for the wife and children. So similarly, Krishna is maintaining all other living entities. Nityo nityanam chetana chetananam eko bhavanam vedati kama. Nityo nityanam. Nitya means eternal. The Supreme Lord is eternal and the living entities are eternal. But the sole difference is that this singular living entity is maintaining all other living entities. So he's able to maintain all other living entities because he is in possession of all opulences. Normally, if one has to support a lot of people, one gets broke. But Krishna never gets broke. Through the agency of material nature, he is providing everything that we need for our survival. Maya dakshena prakriti suyate sa chara charam. This material manifestation is working under my direction. This is the verdict of the Supreme Lord. Further, parsimony, while describing the qualities of the Supreme Lord, says, Aishwarasya samagrasya viryasha yashasha shriya jnana viragya vashchaiva sanna bhaga itingana. That individual could be considered to be the Supreme, who is in possession of six opulences to an unlimited degree, and one of them is Aishwarasya. He is the richest. And in this verse, the word used is Shriya. Shriyapati Yajyapati Prajapatir. So Shriya means all opulences. So Krishna is the possessor of all opulences. And therefore Shukadeva Goswami is offering him all worship. The director of all sacrifices. So the purpose of all sacrifices is also to please the Supreme Lord. Krishna is also known as Yajnapati. Yajnapati means for one to whom all the sacrifices are meant. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Yat karoshi yat dashnasi yat jahosi dadasi yat yat tapaswati kaunteya mat tat kurisha mat arpanam. Whatever you do, whatever offerings you make, whatever sacrifices you make, they should all be done as an offering unto me. Bhoktaram yagyatapusam sarvalokam eshwaram. All the great sages, they used to perform yajna for the pleasure of the Lord. Sarvalokam eshwaram, because Krishna is the proprietor of all the lokas of all the planets. Narayan paraloka.
Krishna, that means that Narayan is the proprietor of all different planets. So Krishna over here is being described to be the director of all sacrifices, and therefore it must be clearly understood that all yajnas are meant for the pleasure of the Lord. And if one wants to perform a yajna for one's own benefit, then, or some type of material gain, then that is not very intelligent. The owner of the real proprietor, the real goal of all yajnas is to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the leader of all living entities. So Krishna is the leader of all living entities, as Shukadeva Goswami hereby is describing. Krishna is the leader. Prabhupada used to say, we do not belong to this political party or that party. We just belong to Krishna's party. Why? Because Krishna is the leader of all living entities. And wherever there is Krishna and Arjuna, there is bound to be victory. So, once we acknowledge that Krishna is the leader of all living entities, then we automatically take shelter of Krishna. And one who takes shelter of Krishna is guaranteed, Kaunteya Pratijani Name Bhakta Pranashyati. One who takes shelter of me will definitely realize freedom from the cycle of birth and death. So Krishna is the leader of all living entities, and this should never be forgotten. Unfortunately, in the material world, in material existence, we all tend to associate with a leader. Let's say, the Prime Minister of this country. Everybody wants to get friendly with the Prime Minister. Then, even amongst us different countries on this planet, there's some countries that are more powerful than others. Say, everyone wants to get friendly with those who are more powerful, isn't it? The goal is to associate with a leader. And if one becomes a leader, everyone wants to take credit. Everyone says, oh, I gave him this, I helped him this, so he's become a leader. Just like Prabhupada's been so successful, so we've met hundreds of people who all claim credit for Prabhupada's success. So, there is a tendency in the material world to associate with a leader. So why not associate with a real leader? That is Krishna. Shukadeva Goswami has very clearly stated, he is the leader of all living entities. So, being a leader means we follow his path. You can't accept a leader and not follow his direction. The leader's direction has to be followed. In other words, what Krishna is saying in the revealed scriptures, it has to be followed. So, Krishna is the leader of all living entities and the controller of all intelligence. In other words, the source of our intelligence and forgetfulness is also Krishna. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita where the Lord says, Sarvasya Chaham Hirdi Sani Vishto Mataha Smriti Jnanam Apahanam Cha. That I am the source of intelligence and I am the source of forgetfulness. So this should never be forgotten, that it is the same leader of all living entities who is the source of our intelligence and who is the source of our forgetfulness. This may sound a little baffling as to why would the Supreme Lord give one the intelligence to criticize him? Why would the Supreme Lord give one the intelligence to declare that God is dead? Normally, this is within your power. You don't want to give the other person the freedom to criticize you, isn't it? But why has the Supreme Lord given this freedom? Because he is a source of intelligence and forgetfulness. So the ability to criticize the Supreme Lord is also coming from the Supreme Lord. And the answer lies in the fact that Krishna has given each of us intelligent freedom. And the freedom is that we decide whether we want to worship him or not. Just like in the 7th verse of the 2nd chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna pleaded complete confusion, and hence Krishna started imparting the philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita. And in the 18th chapter, Krishna questioned Arjuna if his illusion was now gone. And when Arjuna said, yes, my illusion is now gone, Krishna said, now you may do as you like. In other words, The Supreme Lord wants voluntary service. Therefore, Prabhupada used to very often say that our movement is based upon voluntary devotional service. One of the characteristics of devotional service is that it is very rarely awarded, because through the medium of devotional service, one can order Krishna around, and nobody wants to be ordered around. But through the medium of devotional service, you can get to the stage of ordering Krishna around. You can get to the stage of purchasing Krishna. Therefore, Rupa Goswami has stated that Krishna devotional service is very rarely awarded. So, the point to understand is that if we voluntarily desire to serve Krishna, then Krishna will give us the necessary intelligence. And if we desire to forget Him, then also the necessary facility will be created. Why is it that only a handful of people have come to Krishna consciousness? Why? There's so many religious organizations, there's no shortage of them. In fact, this is being accepted as the easiest process for making money all over the world today. So why is it that not everybody is coming to Krishna consciousness? Because the majority of the people who claim to seek a spiritual path are not interested in genuine spiritual life. Therefore, Krishna within the heart as a Paramatma is not guiding them to the right source. But when Krishna as the Paramatma sees that the individual has a sincere desire, then regardless of the location of one's birth or regardless of the faith in which one may be born, Krishna guides the individual to the right path. The real test of religion is the extent to which it enables us to develop love of God and give up sinful activities. Phalena parichet. This is the real test of religion. So, Krishna is the controller of all intelligence. And when Krishna sees that we have the desire to worship Him, when Krishna sees that we have the desire to surrender unto Him, then Krishna reciprocates. Ye yatamam prapadyante. All of them as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So the degree to which Krishna takes control of the devotee is based upon the extent to which the devotee on a voluntary basis wants to surrender to the Lord. It should never be forgotten that surrender to Krishna is voluntary. It is not that Krishna is going to force one to surrender, but if, of course, when Krishna sees that the devotee is sincere in serving Him, then Krishna may take away everything from the devotee. Just like Krishna says in the 11th canto to Maharaj Yudhishthira, that the special mercy of mine upon my devotee is I take away everything. I take away all his material possession. By taking away all of his material possession, what does Krishna do? It makes him completely dependent upon Him. When one has material possessions, when one has some material assets, then one falls under the illusory concept that these material assets or possessions can give me shelter. Isn't it? When you go to a millionaire and tell him, sir, why don't you take shelter of Krishna? He'll protect you. He doesn't believe in that, because he thinks that his money can buy his way wherever he wants. So the special mercy of Krishna upon the devotee is it makes him completely dependent upon Him. One should not think that withdrawal of material facilities is a handicap. It may be a material handicap, but what is a material handicap becomes a spiritual liability, becomes a spiritual asset. A material handicap becomes a spiritual asset, and a material asset becomes a spiritual liability. So, those who are born in very opulent circumstances, or just like the Bhagavatam says, one who is very educated, or one who is very beautiful, or one who is very rich, or one who has a very surrendered wife, to him, the path of self-realization becomes very difficult. This is the verdict of the Srimad Bhagavatam, because when you have these things, it is difficult to understand that you need the Supreme Lord's protection. So the point to understand is that the Supreme Lord protects the devotee in proportion to his degree of surrender. And when Krishna sees that one is on the path of surrender, then Krishna even takes away everything material. Krishna took away everything from the Pandavas. Why? Even Bhima, on his deathbed, could not understand why the Pandavas had to go through all these difficulties. When Bhima was about to die, lying on the bed of arrows, he expressed when he saw the Pandavas next to him and Krishna, that he could not understand why they had to go through all these severe difficulties. So that was the special mercy of the Lord in order to make the devotee depend upon him. And this has been very beautifully illustrated by Queen Kunti in her prayers. Queen Kunti has stated, Vipadu santu taha sashva tatra tatra jagadguru bhavato darshanam yat sayat apunar bhava darshanam. My dear Lord, please may my calamities increase, because the more the calamities increase, the more I'm forced to depend upon you. And the more I meditate upon your lotus feet, the faster will I realize freedom from the cycle of birth and death. So, when something is withdrawn from a devotee, he just thinks, oh, this is the mercy of Krishna. Krishna is giving me the opportunity to depend upon him. But when the materialist loses something, he just begins to curse all around. And the curse has no limit. Just like Prabhupada used to give the example in the Second World War. The woman went to the church and prayed, please may our father, brothers, sons, so on come back. But when they didn't come back, the whole nation turned atheistic. So the devotee understands that the Lord is the source of everything, the source of all intelligence. And when Krishna sees that the individual has a sincere desire to surrender unto him, then Krishna gives him the necessary guidance and he creates the necessary facility by which one is completely dependent upon him, even if it means the withdrawal of all material facilities. Further, Shukadeva Goswami says, the proprietor of all planets, this we have already discussed, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, Krishna is the proprietor of all planets, spiritual and material. Aham sarvasya pabhavo bataha sarvam pravartate. This is the verdict of the Bhagavad Gita. Aham sarvasya pabhavo. I am the source of everything, both material and spiritual. So it is not to be understood that this material creation is coming from some different source. Krishna has specifically declared in the Bhagavad Gita that he is the source of everything material and spiritual. So the devotee understands that everything is working under the agency of the Supreme Lord, under the direction of the Supreme Lord. It is not to be thought that this material manifestation is not a creation of the Supreme Lord's energy. As we said earlier, there are two types of prakriti, apara prakriti and para prakriti. Apara refers to the inferior, which is this material manifestation. And para refers to this transcendental abode of the Lord, which is described to be free of any anxiety at all. Vaikuntha and Kunta. Kunta loka means where there are nothing but miseries, and Vaikuntha dham means where there is no misery at all. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna makes reference to the Vaikuntha dham by saying, Na tad vasatyo suryo na sashankana pavaka yat gatva na nirantante tad dhama paramambama. So the Lord Swadharma does not require any sunlight or moonlight. In this material manifestation, which belongs to the inferior energy of the Lord, if there is no electricity, there is complete blackout. And in that blackout, you can't see anything. But in the spiritual abode of the Lord, there is no need of moonlight or sunlight. Nautat bhasate surya. Krishna is himself saying, there is no need of any moonlight or sunlight over there. Nasashankana pavaka. Yat gatva nas. Nivarantante tad dhama paramam mama. That dhamma or abode of mine is supreme. And whoever who goes there never comes back to this material world. So Krishna is the owner of all the planets, spiritual and material. This should not be forgotten. The Mayavadis say that this material manifestation is false. They say everything, jagat mithya, everything is false. So we should not touch anything. But the devotees of Krishna say, no, it is not false, but it is temporary. If Krishna is real, how can his creation be unreal? If the Father is real, how can his Son be unreal? But the creation becomes unreal when it is not put to the real purpose. And what is the real purpose? Utilization in the service of the Supreme Lord. So the point is that this material manifestation, which is also the manifestation of the Supreme Lord's energy, this is not false, but rather it is understood to be temporary. And because it is temporary, the intelligent entity understands that some or the other he must establish his relationship with the Supreme Lord, because this is not his permanent residence. Just like you may go to visit some relative or some friend, but you don't feel very comfortable there. Doesn't matter how close a friend he may be, you still don't feel the same you would feel at your own house, isn't it? Just like even within our ISKCON society, a devotee, let's say, based in the Bombay temple, he may go and visit the other temples, but still you don't get the same feeling that you get when you are in your own temple of residence, isn't it? You're always looking forward to coming back. So this is very normal. Similarly, a real residence is the abode of the Supreme Lord, and unless one goes back to the abode of the Lord, one cannot be happy or comfortable. And further, Shukadeva Goswami says that Krishna is a supreme incarnation on the earth, the supreme all in all. In the Bhagavatam, there is description of the different incarnations of the Lord. But the conclusion is stated in the following words: Ete chansa kala punsa Krishna tyu bhagwan swayam. There are so many incarnations that Shukadeva Goswami has described. But Krishna tyu bhagwan swayam. But you are the cause of all causes. So there's so many incarnations to which reference is made in the Vedic scriptures. But the original form of the Lord is the form of Krishna. Just like from one candle you may light other candles, the other candles also have the ability to display some power of light, fire. But still there is an original candle that is responsible for all the other candles being lit. So this same point is being reconfirmed by Shukadeva Goswami in this verse of the Bhagavatam, that he is a supreme incarnation on the earth. Krishna is a supreme incarnation, and his incarnation is so powerful that if one just understands the purpose of his appearance and disappearance, one is able to realize freedom from the cycle of birth and death. Janma karma chame devyam evamavidhi tatpataha tyakta deham punar janma naitimam iti sarajana. This is the statement of the Bhagavad Gita, that one who understands the nature of my appearance and disappearance, he can free himself from the cycle of birth and death. Why? Because Krishna is the supreme incarnation. So Prahlad Maharaja's father Hiranyakashipu started pointing in different directions if Krishna was present. And Prahlad said, yes, he's present everywhere, wherever. Hiranyakashipu pointed his sword at Prahlad, said, yes, my Lord is there. And then Hiranyakashipu pointed his sword towards a pillar and asked if his Lord was there. And he said, yes. And Hiranyakashipu said, now let me get rid of this Lord. I have him captivated. Just like when you're trying to capture an enemy, sometimes they feel, oh, now the enemy is in my grip, I'm going to get rid of him. Then Hiranyakashipu also thought, oh, no, Krishna is in my grip. He's right inside the pillar, so now he cannot escape. So he took his sword out to get rid of that, and he was killed. So the point is that the Supreme Lord is present everywhere, and he is the source of all living entities. And hence, Shukadeva Goswami is praying unto him for protection. So the devotees, they are not fooled, they are not cheated. Govinda Madhi Purusam Tava Maham Bhajami. Prabhupada was once greeting the deities, and after greeting the deities, he said, we are not being cheated, we are not being misled, we are under no illusion. Why? Because we are worshipping Govinda Madhi Purusam, because we are worshipping the original person And Shukadeva Goswami is also praying in this verse to that same original person that we are worshipping, to please be merciful upon him. So this is the path of spiritual success, to pray to the Supreme Lord for protection, to pray to the Supreme Lord for guidance. And if we depend upon Krishna, if we accept Krishna to be the leader, then we must accept Krishna's instructions. And if we accept Krishna's instructions, then one is guaranteed spiritual perfection. So this is the key to spiritual success. Learning to depend upon Krishna, learning to pray to Krishna like Shukadeva Goswami is praying. My dear Lord Krishna, please be merciful upon me. So similarly, we should all pray, please be merciful. And by praying to Krishna, by Krishna's mercy, one can make spiritual advancement. And Krishna's mercy can be realized if one takes shelter of the chanting of the holy names of Krishna and executes the process of devotional service. Krishna's Kaviraj has confirmed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Brahmanda Brahmita Kuno Bhagavanuji Guru Krishna Kripa Pai Bhakti Lata Beej. That the seed of devotional service is only implanted after many millions of births and deaths. So devotional service should not be taken lightly. Devotional service is the most valuable asset that we possess, because it is after defying the principles of devotional service that at last we have taken to the principles of devotional service. And if this opportunity is not availed of seriously, then it would be a very great disaster. So perfection of human life is to depend upon the Supreme Lord. So the devotees who have taken to the process of devotional service, they cherish this, and they cherish by watering the seed. Just like for the plant to grow, you have to water the plant regularly. Similarly, for this bead, for this seed of devotional service to grow nicely, we must water it very attentively by this process of chanting and hearing. So this devotional service is a very glorious opportunity to be happy. This is the only facility by which one can realize happiness. And Shukadeva Goswami is praying to the Supreme Lord, who is the goal of devotional service. The goal of pure devotional service is not to realize some type of economic gain, as we discussed earlier, but the goal of pure devotional service is exemplified by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nadanam najanam na sundarem kavitam va jagadish kamahe mama janmani janmeshwari bhavtad bhaktir aitukityai. This is the goal of devotional service. Just to take my birth again and again, so that I may be able to please the Lord. Thakur Bhakti Vinod has said, I may take my birth even in the even as a worm in the house of a Vaishnava. So this is the only desire of the genuine devotee, just to take his birth again and again in the association of hearing the holy name. And Rupa Goswami has also stated, Anya bilasata sunyam jnana karmadi anavritam anukalena krishno silalim bhaktir uttama. That the supreme path of devotional service is that which is rendered without either the desire to merge with the Supreme or to realize any type of economic gain. So that is the goal of pure devotional service, to serve the Lord in the mood of the gopis. The highlight of the mood of the gopis is that they had no personal desire. They gave up their husbands, they gave up their children. Some of them even died in separation, but their only goal was to please Krishna. So this is what we have to learn, to place our love in Krishna, to place all our senses at the lotus feet of the Lord, to place the mind at the lotus feet of Krishna. If the senses, body, mind are placed at the lotus feet of Krishna, then that is real, pure devotional service. Hare Krishna.